Thank you so much for the kind introduction. Suyan, your volume key number. Okay. Very good morning to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Before I start, I'd like to wish you all happy coming Vesak. Very soon we'll be having our Vesak. Then this morning, the topic, I think, is very relevant to what you all did just now. I came a bit early, I think about 9:35 or what. You all were singing this Vesak song, Vesak Day song, very meaningful. Like you all chant, you adore the coming of Lord Buddha Sakyamuni. Because he brought along a very beautiful message. The message of peace, love, compassion, wisdom that can actually give rise to liberation and freedom for all beings. All of mankind in our planet and also all beings within the entire existence. If only you understand his teaching. If only you can develop the wisdom that he had taught us. So, in that very sense, like I think you all heard from that brother who sang, and also the sister, I think it's Sister Wendy, if I'm not wrong. The music was so melodious, so beautiful. And the meaning is more important. Like he said, you come here not only to develop what they call the faith and all those what they call interaction. But more important, he said, you come here to cultivate and practice the Dhamma. Because that is the most important. The music and all this are also very useful. It brings about a very calming effect on your mind, and it brings about a lot of joy, especially the Mandarin song just now. I forgot the title. Gu Lao De one or something. I saw the first two words. Gu Lao De what? En Hui. Lun Hui. Oh, okay. It's a very beautiful song. Very melodious. And I had a very good feeling. The heart really opened up. And this type of puja brings along a lot of what they call good vibration. Very good vibration. And if you understand the meanings of the what they call song lyrics, it is even more beautiful. Then I will explain to you how today's talk can help you actually realize what you need to realize. The title is on the board above. The importance of understanding the five hindrance of mind and the five spiritual faculty as taught by the Buddha. I didn't manage to finish the five spiritual faculty. I will write down the balance, then we will start. The first one is Saddha, or faith. Then you have virya, or spiritual zeal. Third one is sati, or mindfulness. Then you have what they call samadhi. And the last one is wisdom, or panya. Have you all heard of these two categories of mind state? I believe most of you who actually have quite a good grasping of the Dhamma, you must have heard of these two categories of mind state. These are very important teachings that the Buddha actually taught us. You see, according to the Buddha, he said, Your mind is the forerunner of all things. Your mind is chief. Everything arises when your mind arises. So the mind is the most important. So because of that, he said, you need to understand there are these two sets of mind states that can make a lot of difference to your life. The first set is what he called the five hindrance of mind. From the title, you will know. You know what are hindrance? It hinders your mind from realizing the meditative states of peace, calmness, and heedfulness or awareness. Means it makes you heedless. So this category of Dhamma is the most important. You must understand this mind state. Otherwise, it will condition you into heedlessness and cause you to fall. You break and violate all your precepts. You become evil. It's because of this hindrance of mind, nothing else. When you don't have wisdom, when you are deluded, you get yourself entangled because this hindrance of mind keep on arising. I will go into the detail of it afterwards. I will explain to you how you can develop the understanding. Then when you understand, you will be very careful with how you develop the training of your mind. So the Buddha actually advised the monks during his time, 2,500 to 600 years ago. He always actually emphasized on this. He said, human being or living beings, you must develop your mind. You must train your mind to develop this quality of heedfulness or apamada. Apamada is heedfulness. The meaning is constantly aware to develop the wisdom as taught by the Buddha. Means to cultivate the meditation as taught by him so that you can understand his teaching, which is the Buddha Dhamma. And when you have this ability, he said, you can become free. You can have the noble life, the happy life. You will not have to suffer anymore. There will be no more what they call suffering, misery. No more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety, no more unhappiness, no more sorrow, and no more lamentation. Or you can say, no more problem. How nice is it, when you don't have any more problems in life? Both the worldly life, the materialistic life, and the spiritual life. You are completely free. You have a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, a lot of peace, and a lot of understanding because you have this Buddha Dhamma. So that makes a big difference to your life. So that whatever happened to the world, whatever people say and do to you, you will still be peaceful and happy. You will still be able to have this understanding to truly live life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. You can live life to the fullest despite what the world is. So this message is very beautiful. But the Buddha said, without these five spiritual faculties, it's very difficult for you to develop his teaching or to understand his teaching. That's why everything that you do when you come to the temple, especially your puja and all those things, how you bow, how you chant, how you develop your faith, your spiritual confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, and how you develop the mindfulness when you bow, the humility when you pay respect. All this is part and parcel of the cultivation of the spiritual faculty. The Buddha called it the puja. Puja or spiritual devotion. The devotional practice that you should cultivate, not only when you are in the temple, throughout the day, develop a religious routine that you can actually have. Every morning when you wake up, do it. Every night before you sleep, do it. This religious routine is very important. Like what you did here, the puja. You had the pre-puja, the post-puja. And all these that are taught will help you to develop the spiritual faculty, the five spiritual faculty, for you to actually counter the five hindrances of mind. And when you can have that cultivated, very easily you can understand his teaching, the Buddha said. Especially the spiritual faculties. When you have developed the first three are very important. The first one is sadha. You know what sadha is or not? Faith or confidence. In what? In what? In his teaching. Through understanding how special the Buddha is, how unique the Buddha is, because he is the full enlightened, perfect in wisdom and virtue. And he has not only developed the ability to become enlightened, he is perfect in enlightenment. And because of that, you will have a lot of gratitude and a lot of faith and respect in him. Because to have such a teacher, to be your guide, to actually guide you, the gratitude towards him will be very strong. And this gratitude and respect will bring forth the faith, the unshakable faith. And when you have very strong faith in him, through understanding how unique he is, how beautiful his teaching is, especially when you start to cultivate, develop the understanding of his teaching, you put it to investigation, then the teaching stand up to investigation. And you will be so surprised. Everything that he has taught you is so beautiful, so meaningful. The essence of his teaching, especially the Four Noble Truths, it not only teaches you to understand truth, it summarizes all of life, all of the spiritual aspect and the mundane aspect of life into four simple but very beautiful truths. He called it the Four Noble Truths. Noble truth, the meaning is very deep. Noble truths are truths that can make you noble ones. Noble ones, during the time of the Buddha, they are called Aryas. The Aryas are the enlightened ones. So if you can have the cultivation to develop the understanding of this Four Noble Truths or the essence of the Buddha's teaching, you can become noble ones or enlightened ones. That's the reason why his teaching is so unique, so beautiful. So when you have this faith developed, your mind become very calm and very composed, just like when you are in the temple. How do you feel? You feel good, isn't it? Compared to when you are outside, most of the time agitated, not so peaceful, isn't it? Even if you have very, I should say, good or blessed life, unless you are a cultivator, unless you are a really good Dharma practitioner or meditator who understand the mind very well, you are most of the time not peaceful. Most of the time, you have a lot of thought, thinking, wandering thought. And the wandering thought is the one that actually make you restless, not so peaceful. So this is a very important spiritual faculty, the first of the five. The Buddha said, once you have this, you can move. You can receive his teaching. You can understand his teaching. You can feel his teaching. And you can come into the vibration of your mind or your heart that can actually allow you to assimilate or receive his beautiful teaching. So sadha and faith is very important. That's why you must reflect and contemplate on the nine great virtues of the Buddha. Just now you chant the salutation of the Buddha. Those are his nine great virtues that make him a Sammasambuddha. You chant, Itti Peso Bhagava Arahang Sammasambuddho and all those things. Such indeed is the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. And then after that, he talked about how wonderful and unique he is. Then you should also reflect to develop the understanding of the teaching that he has taught us. He asks us to chant the salutation to the Dhamma. You all chant too. Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo. Well expounded is the Dhamma by the Buddha. That what are the unique characteristics of this Buddha Dhamma? Then get to know what the Sangha is, the enlightened disciple of the Buddha is. He also teaches how to actually reflect and contemplate on the beautiful understanding of his teaching and his Dhamma. So when the faith is developed, the Buddha said, this spiritual faculty of virya, or what he called the spiritual zeal. You know what is zeal? Passion, your interest. There's an energy, very strong. It will drive you to cultivate. Once you have these two developed, your mind very composed, the spiritual zeal very strong, the faith very strong, then you will be able to cultivate the mindfulness or the training of the mind to become heedful. This third quality is the most important and the most difficult to realize. If you can develop this, your meditation will progress very fast. This in Pali, he called it sati or mindfulness. Mindfulness or awareness before the knowing. When your mind is silent without thought, before the knowing, just aware. That is the quality of mind. When you pay respect, body and mind move as one with the faith without thought, very composed. Sati comes to be. And this one, once you develop, your mind will overcome all the hindrances. The moment sati come to be, meditation start. The real meditation start. It is with sati that you can understand his teaching. Without sati, he said, no way. Because the Buddha very clearly, under Dhammapada verse 21, he actually emphasized this very clearly. He said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So because of that, if you have not trained your mind to develop this quality of mindfulness or heedfulness, the spiritual life is close to you. That's why he said the heedless are as if dead. Spiritually, your spiritual life is close. This is the reason why you have to really, really train your mind to be very heedful. Heedfulness means ever mindful, to understand what is going on, to develop the wisdom so that you won't get yourself entangled with life, so that you won't make the mistake of creating all those evil or negativity that brings about what they call negative karma that will condition your suffering in life. So all this is in the teaching. So with this, I will come back to the mental hindrance. These five mental hindrances are very important, and you have to understand it. Because this is the one he taught in many places. Even in the four foundations of mindfulness, the last foundation, Dhammanupassana. The first category of cultivation of mindfulness on Dhamma is this category, the five hindrances of mind. The Buddha said that when there is sensual desire or sensuality, you must be aware with understanding that the mind has these mental states of sensuality or sensual desire. And it is a mental hindrance. And if it hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of peace, calmness and heedfulness. And because of that, when this is present, there is no meditation. There is no meditative mind. Your mind is distracted, drawn away. You cannot see things as they are. So this aspect, there are two words. Sensual desire. Okay? The meaning is desire of the senses. As a human being, the Buddha said, we have the five physical senses. Yeah? What are the five physical senses that you have? You have your eye, your ear, your nose, your tongue, your bodily tactile, the five physical. Okay? Then, one more. What is it? Yeah? What else you have? Not only your body, yeah? You have a mind. Okay? So, all these constitute the six sense. So the Buddha said, sensual desire means desire or the sense experience when they arise. So these are the positive craving, understand that? Because every day when you live life, you actually encounter a lot of this, but you do not understand. You are not aware, and you do not have the understanding how it arises and how it conditions you into such what they call habitual tendency to react to everything that you come to experience through your senses. That's why every moment of seeing, the seeing consciousness, when you become conscious of what you see, if it's something pleasurable, some very nice, what they call vision or scenery, that reminds you of good old things, or can actually arouse your desire. Sometimes it can be lustful too. So this sensual desire will arise. Or when you hear something like a very nice melodious music, you can listen, the Buddha said, but do not be heedless, that's it. You can listen with clarity of mind and awareness, no problem. But the moment your mind gets drawn away, means the desire or the craving for that sense experience draws you away. That is when your mind becomes heedless. Heedless means you are lost in the sense experience, lost in the thought process. Your mind is preoccupied with something else. Means it is no longer relaxed, aware, and silent within. To see things with clarity. There is no more clarity of mind. The mind is already distracted, drawn away, preoccupied with what you come to experience. So that sensual desire draws you away. That is the first hindrance of mind. So in your meditation, it's the same. If you are not careful, you have very good mind state. Okay? Initially, of course, the piti, when it comes, you know what is piti, meditative joy, spiritual calmness that comes with the mind that is trained. Initially, when you are able to calm the mind down, to develop the mindfulness within, or the quietness of the mind, then this beautiful state will arise, piti will arise. I'm trying to describe to you a more extreme type of sensual desire. When you are trapped within that, of course, the memory of it will make you very, very interested in that meditation. Because especially for those who first time you experience this spiritual calm or peace within, piti or sukha or pasati or whatever, your mind becomes so tranquil, so peaceful, so calm, so full of joy. Then what happens? You develop the sensual desire or craving for it. Then you become attached to it. Every time when it arises, you're very happy, very peaceful. You say good meditation. But then somehow, like good food, after you have taken it many times, no longer so special. Then you find it more and more difficult to achieve it because the mind that has the desire to repeat the experience has what they call sensual desire as a hindrance. That's why you cannot get it. You cannot repeat it. You find it so difficult. Last time you were able to get it is because you have the faith. Naturally, the faith will bring you there. That it just happened. But now with the craving, the sensual desire to repeat it, that is the one that hinders your mind from having that same experience again. That's why you must be very, very careful. You must be very, very wary of this hindrance of mind. It can come and creep back to you subtly. So This is the first one. Okay? After you have understood this, then we move on. The second hindrance of mind is the opposite of the first one. The Buddha said, when you see something, hear something, or think of something, or smell something, or taste something, or tactilely feel something, if you do not like what you experience, like somebody scold you, abuse you, or say something very bad about you, what happens? You become unhappy, is it? You become irritated, is it? There is this ill will and unhappiness and dislike inside. Then sometimes it makes you very negative. So this mind state, the Buddha said, is also a hindrance to your mind. That's why every moment of sense experience, when you see something you don't like, your mind reacts. You develop the unhappiness, the envy, the jealousy, the dislike, the unpleasantness towards that. Especially when you smell something very smelly or pungent, there is this aversion inside, dislike for that sense experience. Then your mind becomes not peaceful. Whenever there is this sensual desire and ill will, there is no more peace. Your mind is actually caught in the duality, in the two extremes of sensual desire and ill will. So these are the two you have to understand. And it so happened, this sensual desire and ill will is also part and parcel of the first two of the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Yeah. So that's why if you look clearly, you will come to realize this. Sensual desire is part of the evil roots of greed. And this ill will is part of the evil root of hatred. You know what are the three evil roots? Greed, hatred, and delusion. You heard of it before? You haven't? Okay, some of you may have heard of it before. Huh? You see, the Buddha said these three evil roots they are the roots of all evil. If you have this in your mental states, it will condition you into a very evil person. That's why it's called the root of all evil. Yeah. Let's take, for example, greed. Okay? When you have greed, means the Buddha said, you have selfishness. Understand that? Greediness. Greediness means what? Selfishness means what? When you are selfish, you only think of yourself, isn't it? Your self-interest, isn't it? So what do? When you have greed? Huh? You can cheat. You can lie, isn't it? You can misappropriate people's thing, isn't it? Then sometimes you can kill to get what you want. Understand that? That's why when there is a lot of greed and selfishness, you become an evil person. It conditions you to do a lot of evil things. The second one is worse. Eh? Hatred. When you got a lot of hatred, a lot of anger, a lot of jealousy towards somebody, enmity towards somebody. Yeah? All these are evil roots, the Buddha said. It can make you very, very evil. You can become very violent. You can do a lot of things. You can kill. You can harm. Yeah. Then this one also includes lust. Huh? You can break your third precept when you have selfishness, greed, and lustfulness. It's part of greed. Okay. This anger is the worst. Anger and hatred, if you keep it in your mind, when you are throughout the day, a lot of anger, a lot of hatred, a lot of envy towards somebody, especially to your own loved ones, your parent, your brother, sister, your good friend, because of some form of misunderstanding. If this thing is inside you, you will forever hate them, angry with them. That's why you cannot free your mind from this evil root. It makes you a very evil person. And when you have a lot of anger, hatred, and jealousy, what state of mind are you?
They say you can become a monster. Do you know why? You can become angry. And you can say words that are very hurting. And very, very negative. That's why your whole Noble Eightfold Path collapsed. No more right speech. No more right action and right thought. All of the thought that you arise, all the speech and action when you have anger, hatred, and selfishness, they are all negative. So because of that, if you understand that this is an evil root, if you want to free yourself, what must you do? You must forgive. When you forgive somebody, means what? You no longer hate. This evil root disappears. Actually, when you forgive somebody, you free yourself, if you understand that. Because the evil root taken out. So this is a very important. These two hindrances of mind, when you understand, you have it because you lack kindness, you lack goodness, you lack wisdom, you lack the Buddha Dharma. That's why every moment of sense experience, you oscillate between sensual desire and ill will, or greed and hatred. And this is the one that throughout the day condition you into negativity. And this is the one that causes karmic negativity. That's why Dhammapada verse 1, the Buddha said very clear. Your mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Everything arises when your mind arises. So if you are heedless, means you don't train your mind. You will act, speak, and think with a heedless mind, with a wicked mind, that will arise the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And this is the one that will cause you all your suffering. Then the Buddha said, such a person, suffering will follow him like the wheel that follows the hood. This is how you get yourself entangled with life, and this is how you suffer. And the Buddha again, very specifically, remind the monk, every day you must reflect and contemplate on this law of karma. The fifth of the five daily contemplation, he said, we must reflect and contemplate. Each and every one of us, we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are every moment, every instant, because of our karma. So because of this, you have to wake up to this reality. That's why the Buddha wants you to reflect every day and understand karma is very powerful, very important, and our entire life and existence depend on it. Because we are born into it. We inherit everything that karma brings about. And this is the karmic force that you inherit. That's why it conditions you and supports your life every moment, every instant. And you are what you are because of your karma. Whatever your life situation is, the Buddha said, you cannot blame anybody but yourself. Because this is what you have created through your past action, speech, and thought process. The karmic inheritance that you bring about to this world. So when you understand this, you will come to know why the Buddha Dharma is so beautiful. And why the advice of the Buddha, Dhammapada verse 183, is so important. That's why the Buddha said, all Buddhas, when they come, they teach the same. They only got three advice for you. Yeah? The famous Dhammapada verse 183, yeah? You heard of it before? Sabba papasa akaranang kusalesa upasampadan sacitta pariyodhapanang etang buddhana sasana. So this one, the Buddha said, sabbe is all, papasa is evil, akaranang, all evil you have to avoid. Then kusalesa upasambada. Kusala are the wholesome state, the goodness. Wherever there is condition, you must cultivate them. Then the last one is meditation. Purify your mind. This is the advice of all Buddhas. So now you understand. From the right view with regards to this law of karma, you understand the importance of karma. means you have to take care of karma. Is it? How do you take care of karma? You have to avoid all evil. Is it? Otherwise, your karma will be negative. Then you have to cultivate the wholesomeness and the goodness. Then you have to develop the wisdom. When there is wisdom, only you know how to avoid the real evil. Otherwise, you cannot see your evil roots. It is only through this understanding that you are able to appreciate the Buddha's teaching. Why he teach the Noble Eightfold Path? Why did you chant just now? You make aspiration for you not to deviate, to constantly have the right speech, right action, right thought, and right livelihood to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path so that it can bring about wisdom to liberate you from samsara, to bring about enlightenment to you in the here and the now. So this is the most important, avoid all evil. And the Buddha didn't stop there. That's why in the puja, he said, you have to keep your five precepts. Why do you keep your five precepts? It is out of love and compassion for you that he advised you to keep your five precepts, because this will help you avoid evil. If you violate and break your five precepts, you are very evil. I think I have spoken about these five precepts before earlier on. I just repeat the first one. What is the first precept? Panatipata viramani sikapadang samadhiyami. The Buddha said, we undertake the training rule to abstain from killing or causing harm to fellow living beings. What type of person will kill and harm? What type of person? The first thing that comes to your mind is what? Angry person, with a lot of hatred, a very violent person. The other one is a very selfish person. If he's very selfish, he wants to protect his loved one, he will do all those things. And all this come about because of delusion. That's why when you have the evil roots, you violate your precepts. All of your precepts are evil. If you want to avoid evil, you have to train your mind to be very mindful, very heedful, ever mindful of your mental intention behind your actions, speech, and thought process. That's how you can cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. That's how you can develop the heedfulness to meditate, to make a difference to your life, to see clearly how your mind actually gets entangled into itself via being caught in these five mental hindrance of mind. So these first two I spend some time talking and explaining it because this is very important. Okay? So now I will move on a bit faster. The third one is very easy to understand. Sloth and torpor or lethargic mind, sleepy mind. In whatever you do in life, the Buddha said, if you don't have the understanding and the what they call wisdom to know the importance of what you are doing, means you do not understand what you do. You don't see the importance of it, like the cultivation, the development of this, what they call meditation, as taught by the Buddha. When you meditate, what happens? Sleepy. It's like in the school. When you go to a class, you attend a class, the subject that you are not interested in, you don't see the importance of that subject. You become sleepy. But if you like that topic, you have passion towards it, what happens? You have a lot of attentiveness. So sloth and torpor will not be there if your faith to understanding the importance of this teaching as taught by the Buddha is there. Understand? So this state of mind is due to ignorance that condition you into laziness, sleepiness. So this is the one that you only need to be aware. When you have this, develop your faith, develop your virya. These two will counter your sleepiness. Then the fourth one is equally important. The Buddha said restlessness of mind. Your mind becomes restless. How can your mind become restless? Due to what? Why are you not peaceful? Huh? Not happy, not relaxed. Why? Because you have what? You have problem, isn't it? You have problem that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety. When you have fear, worry, anxiety, what is your mental state? You cannot sit down and calm down. Isn't it? You have a lot of worry inside there. Then your mind becomes very restless. Isn't it? You want to do a lot of things, but you don't know what is the correct thing to do. You got a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety inside. That's why your mind with this state is not peaceful, the Buddha said. You cannot meditate when you have restlessness. You know what are the things that can condition your restlessness? The Buddha called it the first noble truth, reality of life and existence. He said, when you have health problem, you're not peaceful anymore. You have a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety. Then when you have what they call financial problems sometimes, it can also make you miserable. Then when you have relationship problem, also very miserable. Pending divorce or separation and all those things. Your relationship with somebody very close suffer. Then when you have career problem, it's the same. Children's problem, in-law problem, neighbor's problem. There are so many things in life that can make you worry. So this mental state, when they arise, tell yourself, you have two choices. Whatever happens, you have two choices. One way is to worry about it and become miserable. And this one, the Buddha never recommend. He said, this is a hindrance of mind. Why can't you have the clarity of mind to see things as they are, to understand the reality of what happened, accept that reality and move on? You don't have to worry about life. You don't have to create unnecessary fear. Understand not? Your mind need not be in this way. Your mind can still be peaceful no matter what happened. Yeah. If only you have the Dhamma, you have the understanding of the reality. Whatever that is the reality means, is the truth. The reality of life and existence. Like the doctor. If let's say the doctor said, through the biopsy test or what, confirm I got cancer. Third stage or fourth stage. What am I going to do? What is the normal tendency? Most human beings would have panic, isn't it? A lot of fear, a lot of worry that the thought will project. What am I going to do? This is serious. I may not live long. I may die. Then you worry about your job. You worry about your children, your family, your loved ones, and all those things that you have not done. That is one way to live your life. Understand? The other way is you tell yourself, this is the reality. The doctor has confirmed. If I need to have a second opinion, I go for a second opinion. Understand not? Then if it's again confirmed, means I accept this reality and I follow what the Buddha teach me. He asked me to constantly reflect throughout the day, every day. This body of ours is only element, not me. It goes the way of nature. It's of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. I'm not alone in this. Every human being or living being has to go through this process. This reality of life and existence, every human being has to confront. The only difference between a person who suffers and a person who don't suffer is what? The person who suffers worries about it, create restlessness of mind, which is a hindrance. The person who don't suffer accept this reality. Understand? Come to terms with this reality and tell yourself, yes, it is confirmed I have this. So, what are my options? What can I do to move from here? And then you can talk to your doctor. Understand? You ask the doctor, what are my options? I tell you, doctor also will be very surprised. He said, never before he sees such a calm and cool patient. Able to talk to him despite what happened. Then if you need to seek help, you check with your friend, your Dhamma friends. SJBA very good. See Sui An, he can help you. he has a lot of experience. Then you can actually talk to people that had actually recovered. Understand? Or? This is a lot better than worrying about it, isn't it? Creating all the fear, the anxiety, the restlessness. So that's why this mental state, you must actually be careful. Never worry about life. Never allow fear, worry, anxiety to grasp onto your mind. You know what are fear, worry, anxiety? Delusion. Without delusion, without ignorance, there is no fear. There is no worry. There is no anxiety. That's why without the spiritual faculty of wisdom, panya, which is the last one, you cannot free from number four. This hindrance of mind will be very strong, very powerful. This is the one that haunt a lot of human beings, a lot of living beings. And living beings suffer because of that. They became depressed. They become very sick, full of fear, phobia because of this. And they suffer a lot. Sorrow, lamentation, grief, all comes to be. And this is real suffering that you cannot understand. The more you think, the worse it becomes. Because all the wrong thoughts will arise. When you are restless, you think a lot. And you think all the wrong thoughts. That's why it becomes a cocoon. Then you are trapped in it. What are wrong thoughts? Thoughts that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your misery, your unhappiness, your selfishness, your anger, your hatred, all of the negative state, the evil roots. Wrong thought. The last one is doubt. When you are not confident of what you are doing, normally you cannot succeed. Understand? Just like the Buddha said, you need faith in whatever you do, whether spiritual or materialistic. So now these five, the hindrance of mind, more or less, are you clear? You got any question? Or maybe we leave it after. I finish off first. Okay, these are the five hindrance of mind that you need to understand. You need to avoid. You need to abandon. Right effort to abandon them all. Understand? Or prevent it from arising. Then the right effort to cultivate the wholesome five spiritual faculty. This is the one you must determine with your right effort to cultivate. And if you already have some of it, refine upon it, right effort to promote it more and more. So the Buddha said, to counter life, to counter the five hindrances, you can actually develop what he teach, the five mental spiritual faculty. I call it spiritual because it's for spiritual usage and understanding. If you use it for mundane, then you can call it mental faculties, understand? Because it's mind, okay? But spiritual means for the spiritual cultivation. So mental faculty or spiritual faculty, depending on how you use it. Saddha is faith. Faith in the Buddha, in his teaching. When you have this strong, very strong faith in the Buddha through understanding how wonderful and special he is, he is the fully enlightened one, perfect in wisdom and virtue. That's why he has a lot of understanding. His teaching is very wonderful. So this will bring forth a very strong, composed mind that can move you to understand his teaching. And when your faith is very strong, unshakable, virya will come to be. There is this tenacity or mental energy inside your heart that will drive you to cultivate. Because you see the importance of this teaching. You do not want to be heedless. You do not want to suffer unnecessarily. You want to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, to do good and purify the mind. You want to avoid the hindrance of mind. That's why you want to cultivate this. And to do this, once you have the faith, the virya will come, then you will meditate. This one initially is through paying respect. When you pay respect to the Buddha mindfully with the faith and the virya, this mindfulness will come to be sati. Then after that, you have to develop it through meditation, the four foundations of mindfulness and all those things. So all this, you can actually develop it. Once sati is developed, this is the beginning of meditation. This is the beginning of transformation. This is the beginning of the mind that has this quality to allow you to change for the better. Without mindfulness or awareness, you cannot see your mental intention behind all your actions, speech, and thought. You cannot cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. You cannot develop heedfulness. Without sati, you cannot investigate the Dhamma, which is the second enlightenment factor. And this is also the first enlightenment factor. And these five spiritual faculties that the Buddha talked about, they are also five of the 37 enlightenment factor. And this one appeared twice. Under the second category, it's still the same five, but they become powers. They call balas. When your faith becomes unshakable, virya becomes unshakable, sati or mindfulness becomes unshakable, samadhi becomes unshakable, wisdom perfected and unshakable. This second set, they call it balas. B-A-L-A-S. They are also enlightenment factor. And because they appear twice, 10 out of 37 factors of enlightenment. That's why these are very important dhammas. Yeah. So once you have sati or mindfulness cultivated, the mind will stabilize. When there is mindfulness, there is no thought, no heedlessness, no restlessness, no sensual desire, no ill will. When your mind is calm, peaceful, silent, in awareness, there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sensual desire, no ill will, no restlessness, no sloth and torpor, and no doubt. There is clarity of mind with a lot of faith, sadha and virya. That's why this sati stabilizes and accumulates into what they call samadhi. Samadhi is what the Buddha called collectedness of mind. Collectedness or unwavering mind. When your mind becomes collected, unwavering, means what? It has samadhi. Means at the moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, think of something, or smell or taste or tactile feel something, your mind does not waver. Your mind stays in equanimity, in samadhi. That's why it's unaffected. It has this ability to become peaceful. That's why you can be peaceful. That's why just now I asked you the question, why are you not peaceful? Why are you not happy? Because you don't have samadhi. And because you don't have samadhi, you do not have the ability to actually bring about the calm and peaceful mind. Yeah. I used to say, human being, you are very, very fragile and very vulnerable. Do you know why? You may appear very strong. One moment, you receive a phone call, not such a happy news. Within that instant, you can break down. You can have a lot of fear, a lot of unhappiness. That's why the mind that doesn't have the wisdom and the samadhi, when you hear something or see something or when people tell you some bad news, you can become miserable within that very instant. So that's why your peace, your joy, your happiness can just be shattered, just like that. That's why I say living being without the Dhamma, you are very fragile, very vulnerable, very easily hurt. So, with this, maybe I will end. Then if you got any question, you can ask. Okay? Yeah.
Thank you. 发射的麦。
Yeah. Yes. 哎、欸、，Oh, maybe the other mic. It's okay. Use the other mic because the recording. If you don't use the mic, the previous experience is it cannot be heard. They always say, "What is the question?" They didn't know. Thank you. Yeah, you come in front a bit. The mic. Thank you.Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah.
Brother Teo.
Yes.
Thank you very much for sharing with us. I have a very innocent, what do you call a request is, after hearing what you share with us, I think I have a lot of problem here. So I would just like to seek your advice. How can we probably perfect, or what is my first step, you know, that I should take?To address all this problem. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much for the question, sister. That's a very good question. I think this is a very common question. That's why I say don't panic after you hear this. A lot of you will feel, oh, yo, this is what I'm having. How am I to move? Anasana. So our sister here has given you a very good condition for me to speak and explain. She said, where do I start? Understand not? How can I develop this understanding to reverse all this so that I can actually have the Dhamma? So that my life can be different. So that I can make a big difference to my life. So that I too can be a blessing to all later on.It is very easy. You don't have to panic because you are looking at the board, that's why you panic. You forget about what is written on the board. Go back to basic. What is the advice of the Buddha? All evil I must avoid. Okay? How can I do it? Just now I re-explained. What must you do? What must you do?keep your five precepts. Thank you so much. That is a good one. Because the Buddha, out of love and compassion for you, advised you to keep your five precepts. And the purpose is based on this right view regards to law of karma. That's why the advice comes. You have to avoid all evil. How to do it? The guideline is the five precepts is the guideline.And how do you keep the five precepts? You need to train your mind, isn't it? Heedfulness, isn't it? Otherwise, you cannot keep it, isn't it? A lot of people tell me, Bertil, I know this is wrong, but this mind got this tendency to keep on getting angry. And keep on having this type of negativity. The hindrance of mind are so strong. What can I do? The question is, are you serious about life?If you're serious about life, you wake up. If you are not serious about life, you can continue to talk. You can continue to justify what you do. It will not make a difference. But when you are serious about life, you see the danger of doing all this through heedlessness, you will determine to change. How do you change? Start with the puja. Puja is very easy, isn't it?Come to temple, compose your mind, reflect on the Buddha Dharma, who the Buddha is, how special he is. He is a fully enlightened one, perfect in wisdom and virtue, the nine great virtues. So you read up the Dhamma, and when your faith in him is very strong, when you understand the essence of his teaching, this is slowly how you start. The Four Noble Truths are the most important. You have to start from there. It tells you the secret of life.Of course, the puja will help you to develop the spiritual faculty. When the faith is there, the virya is there, the mindfulness is there, the teaching comes in. Very easy, you can understand. Then devote your time to cultivate. That's why the religious routine, every day, morning and night, pay respect, bow, renew your precepts.
chant the salutation to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa with the faith. Understand not? Don't just parrot it out like a parrot. Then it's just repeating. Nothing inside. Understand not? You must feel it. You must know the meaning of it. Namo is homage. Tassa is to you. Homage to you, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Why is he blessed? Blessed with wisdom and virtue. Why is he the worthy one? He is worthy of respect, offering, reverential salutation and all those things. That hospitality, food and whatever. So the worthy ones are the enlightened ones. They are worthy of the four things. The field of merits are immeasurable. Then when you come to the temple, you can do so much wholesomeness. The 10 meritorious actions you can do, all of them are there. The 10 meritorious actions you heard before. Dana, Sila, Bhavana. The first three. Dana is what? Generosity. Okay? That one you can give. Not necessary money alone. If you don't have the means, no need to donate, just monetary give. You can help out in the kitchen service, Sunday school, the temple activity. Yeah. Then you can radiate love, metta, is giving. Understand or not? Then you can help people to understand the truth, the gift of truth. Advise people what are the good Dhamma books to read. Where are the places you can go and listen to good Dhamma talk? Where are the places you can go for good meditation and retreat? Where you can really change your mind, improve your mind, transform you. So once you have this, your merits is there. Then sila, if you renew your precept, you determine not to violate them, is a merit, understand? That's why sila can allow you to have the good life, to be reborn in the heaven. You just keep your 5 precepts. You don't violate. Your here and the afterlife is assured, at least in the good rhyme of the deva planes. You won't fall to the willful rhyme. And precepts are such meritorious action, because when you undertake to keep your precept, you don't harm, you don't kill. You become a very, very good human being, understand? It does not create negativity. It does not bring about what they call suffering to fellow living beings. So the merit is, suffering will not come to you too. Then the third one is bhavana. Bhavana means meditation. When you pay respect, is another type of development of sati or mindfulness. It's also bhavana. So when you pay respect mindfully, with understanding, your sati comes to be, you cultivate humility. You cultivate a meritorious action of reverence. Then the Buddha said, 4 things grow. You pay respect to worthy ones and elders. Ayu, wana, sukang, palang. And these 4 things are very useful for your life. Ayu is long life. Wana is fair complexion and beauty. Sukang is happiness everybody need. Palang is strength, not only physical strength, mental strength, spiritual strength. All these are palang. And when you can pay respect, you develop humility, you exercise your body, you cultivate mindfulness, you develop the merits. There are so much wholesomeness. Then like today, you listen to the Dhamma, you straighten your views. All these are meritorious action. Then after that, post-puja, we share merit, transfer merit, you make aspiration. All these are wholesome merits. So when you have this, you make the aspiration for you, like the Buddha teach you, ipmina punyang kamena. Just now, I think you all chant the other one. Don't know what bagang. Yours is a slightly different one. But the one that I normally chant is, ipmina punyang kamena, mami bala samagamo, satang samagamo hotu, yawa nivana patia. The Buddha always advises, after you have cultivated this merits or wholesomeness or goodness, you must make aspiration. so that your cultivation can progress very fast, so that your path is very straight, you won't deviate. The meaning is, by the power of this merit, it means punyang. Punyang is your merits. By the power of this merits, may it arise the causes and condition for you to always avoid the foolish. Meet up only with the wise and enlightened one, so that Nibbana can be realized soon as possible. And if possible, in the here and the now. So you make this aspiration sincerely by invoking the power of merits. The causes and conditions will arise for you to move. Actually, you don't have to do anything. It will happen by itself. But you must have the faith, the sadha. This one is very important. When you have the faith, everything comes to be. When you are sincere, the faith will be very strong. When you are not sincere, means you're not serious about life, the faith cannot develop. So this faith needs sincerity. When you have sincerity, you move very fast. Your faith becomes very strong. So this is the one that can bring forth a lot of difference. When you have this faith developed very strongly, then you determine and make this aspiration with a very strong mind and a very strong faith, sadha and virya. Then you do it mindfully with all the spiritual faculty in place. That aspiration will carry through. That's why the Buddha teach in such beautiful ways, so that you don't have to worry so much. That's why all the things that he taught you, the puja, the chanting, the daily reflection, the noble truth, the five hindrances of mind, the five mental faculty or spiritual faculties, the seven factors of enlightenment, the four foundations of mindfulness, all these, they are all one complete beautiful teachings. And Dhammapada verse 21, repeating and highlighting to you the importance of training your mind to develop this quality of mind, he called heedfulness, apamada, ever mindful to cultivate the mind, to train the mind, to develop the wisdom as taught by the teacher, Lord Buddha. So this is how you can actually do it. And it's not so difficult, I tell you. If you are serious, it's very easy. But if you are not serious, nothing can happen. So it depends on the individual. You have to ask yourself, are you serious about life? Do you really want to change? Do you really want to make a big difference to your life? Do you want to be a blessing to all? Or do you want to become heedless and continue to be negative and cause all the evil things to arise? Not only you harm yourself, you harm your loved ones, you hurt them, and you cause so much misery to fellow beings, and you even pollute the planet, the consciousness, the environment and everything. That's why you must have this wholesome mind. You must avoid all evil so that there is no negativity. Have more goodness, kindness, love, compassion and wisdom. This is what you need. Do away with the evil roots. Your selfishness, your anger, your hatred, your negativity. Tell yourself never to get angry again. Never to become selfish again. Never to have fear again. Never to worry about life, but just understand and live. That is what you need in life. Okay? Any more questions? You don't worry. It's recorded. I think Sri Andhya recorded. So you can have them. I will put it into the SJBA, the Dhamma Talk blog, I think. So nowadays, it's a lot more easier because science and technology has helped so much. Nowadays, the recording are so clear. I was also so amazed when I listened to the recording again. Oh, it was so clear. Huh? That's why you are all very lucky to be born in such an era. Huh? This is a golden age for our planet Earth. You can have the good and beautiful life if you have the Dhamma. Don't waste. Do not miss this window of opportunity when you still have the teaching. The Buddha Dharma, the Sasana is still around, and you have a chance to become a human being, to come into contact with the Dhamma. Don't waste this chance. Because this opportunity, this window, is very rare, very difficult to come by. If you know how to make use of it, I wish you all the best, and I rejoice with you. Okay? Yeah, sadhu, sadhu.
Shall we ask Brother Chiu to lead us in the transmission of merit for hearing the Dhamma talk this morning?
Okay, I will do the normal one, which I'm familiar with, the Pali one. You understand, you can follow. If you don't, you just silent your mind and rejoice. Inside, silently you rejoice, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I will chant the sharing of merits with the devas. We start with Akasata Chiu Bhumata. Then we continue with Ittavata Chamehi. Then after that, we will chant the transfer merit to departed one. Idang Mena Tinang Hotu. Then the last one is to make your aspiration. Ipmina Punyang Kamina. Okay. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata Chiu Bhumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang tang anemodito cirang rakan tulu kasasana ita wata caamihi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anemodantu sabba sampati sidya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Ipmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patia. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to the Buddha. Develop your composed mind. Develop the faith and virya. Then bow mindfully.